Lord, do cleanse us with your precious blood.
Amen.
Lord, we come to you by your blood.
Amen.
Thank you, you opened a new and living way.
Amen.
That we all can come to the throne of grace.
Amen.
To receive mercy and find grace.
Amen.
For our timely help. To anoint this time.
Amen.
And anoint your precious word.
Amen.
We love you and we love your word.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, saints. This morning, we come to a very precious portion of the Bible. In the past, when I read this portion, I had questions. But now this morning, standing before you, I have no questions. You know, this portion mentioned about Adam and Eve. And it mentioned that God said, you know, it is not good for the man to be alone. And then later he mentioned, I will make him a helper as his counterpart. In the past, when I read this portion, I say, yes, God said, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. Why God just, you know, make the man and the woman at the same time? It's over. But God, you know, out of the dust of the ground, created this man. And now God is saying, it's not good for him to be alone. I thought God knew it already, you know, even before he made Adam. So I had a question for a long time. But this morning, thank you for the opening of the word. Through Brother Nee and Brother Lee, that I have no questions. So what helped me, I want also, you know, to share with you, this is based on the word. It's not based on any man speaking. So maybe we can, you know, the Bible is wonderful. It begins with a marriage. You know, this portion, Adam and Eve. At the end of the Bible, it's also a marriage. Begin with the marriage and ends with the marriage. And in between, still marriage. In the Old Testament, we read the verses this past week. God said, I'm your husband. Speaking to the children of Israel. Speaking to God's Old Testament people. In the New Testament, it's the same. At the end of the Bible, it's the same. So let's read the verses in Revelation. Let's read together. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this is the end of the Bible, 21-22, the last two chapters. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, Adam and Eve. At the end of the Bible, there is a bride. Later on, we'll read who is the husband. So this shows us the beginning of the Bible and the end of the Bible. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, 31 and 32 together. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak with regard to Christ and the church. In the context, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul was speaking about husband and wife, telling the husband love his wife, and telling the wife to submit to the husband. But a sentence injected, this mystery is great. You know, we have a lot of husband and wife here, including me. And are you a mystery? I mean, husband and wife. I don't think, you know, it's a mystery. We're just physical persons, you know. But in the Bible, it mentioned the husband and the wife. The two will be joined. And the two will be one flesh. By the way, this word is quoted what we just read in Genesis. So Paul is quoting Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. He didn't mention it's a great mystery. But in Ephesians, Paul said, this mystery is great, but I speak with regard to Christ and the church. Because it's referring to Christ and the church. Therefore, this type of husband and wife, this type of Adam and Eve, is a great mystery. I don't know whether you're convinced. But anyway, I just stop here for this point. In Ephesians, it mentioned not only the church is the wife of Christ. In Ephesians, he also mentioned, Ephesians book on the church, and he mentioned what is the church, you know. And we have verses concerning the church. Ephesians 1, in chapter 1, in the very beginning. Let's read the verse also. And he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So these two verses reveal to us that the church is the body of Christ. In the past, I always thought it's a kind of illustration. Christ is the head, the church is the body. But the verse didn't say that. The verse said, the church, which is his body. Then how do you explain? The church is Christ's body, not as an illustration. So this Christ, we all know, who is Christ? Christ is Jesus. And Jesus is Jehovah the Savior. Jesus is Jehovah the Salvation. Later on we'll see. It involves a kind of process. How that the church is produced to be the body of Christ and to be the wife of Christ. Let's read also Ephesians 5:29. You know, we read Ephesians 5:31 and 32. Let's read together. For no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church. He also referring to the church is the body of Christ. And nobody hates his own body. You know, I think everybody this morning, normally you eat your breakfast. Why? You want to take care of your body, so your body can take care of you. And Christ nourishes and cherishes the church, because the church is his body. Okay. I just want to lay this groundwork so we can spend a little time to see how, when God said it's not good for man to be alone, in fact, God is speaking something about himself. It's not good for God to be alone. But he is saying it's not good for Adam to be alone. It's kind of, sometimes I'm at the sand and when we're talking, and then later on, he asked me, are you hungry? I didn't realize. I thought, you know, I'm not hungry. But eventually I realized he is hungry. So he told me whether I'm hungry. If I get the point, then if he's in my house, I should provide him something. In a sense, God is doing the same thing. That's why the following books, we don't have time to go through, you know, in the Morning Watch verses sheet, it mentions all the verses in the Old Testament concerning this point. But I just want to spend a little time that we can go through some of the verses. It reveals just how he provided Adam with a wife, Eve. He's doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing. Okay, we can, you know, I put some of the verses we read in the beginning. Everybody, we read in the beginning again. Then I match some verses in the Bible to show that this very God, he created Adam, and saying that it's not good for Adam to be alone, then he start preparing a wife for Adam. Okay, let's read again Genesis 2:19-20. And Jehovah God formed from the ground every animal of the field and every bird of heaven, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called any living animal, that was its name. And the man gave names to all. I couldn't understand these two verses. Because God said it's not good for man to be alone. Why he brought the animals? Right? These two verses are very crucial. Because Adam, God created him, a living soul, you know, with a physical body out of the dust of the ground, and with a spirit from the breath of God, breath of life from God. And this living soul, he has mind, he has emotion, and his will. And he sees, you know, God just brought all the animals in front of him, and he gave names. Sometimes, you know, if you don't have the best, you take the second best, right? But Adam, you know, didn't see any match him. So he just gave the name, go. Gave the name and go. So everything, it paraded and it passed in front of him. He didn't make the choice. And that was the right choice. He didn't choose a giraffe, you know, it's a big and tall, you know, nice looking. He didn't say, this is my wife. No, he didn't do that. This is very significant because later on we'll see what matches Adam comes out of Adam. Amen. And today, what matches Christ has to come out of Christ. So these two verses showing us what is not the match of Adam. What is not Adam's helper, not Adam's counterpart. So this is very significant. You know, in fact, these two verses are for us today. So what should God do, right? God did something. And let's read on. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of an only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality. Romans 5:14.
Even those who have not seen our Father's church, who is the Bible,
other words, Adam is a type of Christ. The type is just like a picture. Adam is a picture. The reality of the picture is a living person.
Amen.
So Adam is a picture. Who is the reality of Adam? Christ. Christ is the real person. So God uses Adam, he created, as a type to show that Christ is the real person. So in order to have a wife for himself, God one day became a man himself. So this Christ, I mentioned that Christ is Jesus. Jesus is Christ. And this Jesus is Jehovah the Savior, Jehovah the Salvation. And this Jesus is God becoming a man. Because in John 1:14, it's very clear, and the Word became flesh. And in John 1:1, it mentioned, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, the Word became flesh means God became a man. God became a man. Okay, let's read on Genesis 2:21. Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. In order to have Eve to match Adam, and Adam didn't find his counterpart in all the living creatures, animals, birds, you know. So God put Adam to sleep and took a rib. And this is the picture of Christ. Let's read the verses in John 1:29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In John 12:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And also John 19:34. "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water." In the past, I didn't pay attention. I thought, you know, the Lord just opened up the side of Adam and took out a rib and used this rib to build a woman. Of course, I couldn't understand how a rib became a woman. But anyway, the Bible says so. If you pay attention that when the rib was taken out, it didn't mention there was blood. You know, we have some of the saints in the medical field, working in the medical field. If you take a rib out of a person, you know, a lot of things happen, you know. The blood, you know, you have to keep the, you know, transfusion going. If anything, you know, the person is losing too much blood. But in Genesis, it didn't mention blood. Because in Genesis 2, sin did not enter. Man's fault was in Genesis 3. But in the verses we read in John 19:34, it mentioned when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, you know, according to the Jewish custom, they don't want to keep the person that was Sabbath day. They don't want to keep the person, you know, on the cross. So they want to make sure the person will die. So they when they when they were to break the bones of those who were crucified so they can die faster. The two robbers, they broke their bones. But when they came to the Lord Jesus died already. So the soldier just wanted to make sure. So used the spear, pierced his side. And he mentioned, "I'll come," came out blood and water. So blood is mentioned. You know, when the Lord Jesus took the rib out of Adam, you may say that was the first surgery, you know, to do something. But there was bloodless. I think the medical field is learning this technique, you know. If a person doesn't lose blood, and it's easier to heal, right? And they are, I don't know whether it's correct or not. They try to put the person's temperature down so the blood doesn't flow that fast, or you know they cannot. If the blood doesn't flow, then they can finish the operation. Then you know, will be very good. But anyway, when the Lord took the rib out of Adam, there was no blood mentioned. But when the Lord was crucified on the cross, and the soldier pierced the Lord's side, blood came. That was because man has fallen, and there's a need of shedding of blood. That's why in John 1:29, he mentioned the Lord Jesus. When John was introducing the Lord Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We know the Old Testament people, God's people, used lamb as a sacrifice, you know, for sin offering, for trespass offerings. There's the need of shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So for us, you know, we sang some of the hymns, you know, God sent his son to die for us, to shed his blood, that we may have the forgiveness. So the Lord Jesus, not only is God became a man, he also lived a life, eventually died on the cross. You know, we always think, you know, he died for our sin, you know. But in God's eyes, it's more than just cleanse us. God has something in view.
Amen.
When the Lord Jesus came, you know. The Bible also say the Lord Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, you know. Because the Lord Jesus was dying for a cause. And that cause is to gain his bride.
Amen.
So we, on one hand, we enjoy the forgiveness of our sins. But on the other hand, we should have the Lord's view. The Lord wants to gain his bride. And we all are part of the bride, because we are part of the church. So we see these verses that there was the shedding of blood. But there is also another aspect concerning the Lord's death on the cross. That is the verse we read in John 12:24. The Lord mentioned before he was crucified, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. If it dies, it brings forth many grains. So this aspect has no blood involved. A grain doesn't have blood. That's for the releasing of the life. So the releasing aspect of the Lord's death on the cross is the picture of what God did to Adam, to take out the rib out of his side. Life builds up the church. And that rib was used to build up Eve. So we see that the death of Christ has both the cleansing aspect, the shedding of the blood, also the life aspect for the impartation of life. You know, this morning we are sitting here, and not only our sins are forgiven, but at the same time, we have the divine life.
Amen.
The divine life has been imparted into us.
Amen.
And we all are part of the bride.
Amen.
It's glorious. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, let's read on in Genesis 22. And Jehovah God built the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. Okay, let's read Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You know, the translation, in other translation, build a woman was translated differently. Made a woman. In Chinese, it's also the same. So the word built was not there when you read King James or other versions. So you don't realize this woman, Eve, is built up. That's why the Lord Jesus, when he came, when he asked Peter, who did you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ. Right away, the Lord said, I also say to you. That means Peter needs to know Jesus is the Christ. That's only half. The other half is the Lord will build his church. That means God once again Christ as the head, also the church as the body. God wants to have Christ as the bridegroom. God also wants to gain a bride for Christ. You know, the church has two aspects. One is, of course, there are many aspects, but I just want to mention the two most important aspects. That is, the church to God is the house of God.
Amen.
And the church to Christ is the bride of Christ. It's also the body of Christ. You know, these two things is both from the beginning, in the beginning, and also at the end of the Bible. You know, right now we are in the Genesis 20. The most important vision in Genesis is the vision what Jacob saw concerning the house of God concerning Bethel. And that governs all the rest. Any other visions mentioned in the Bible is governed by that vision. And at the end of the Bible, it's also the same. You know, the New Jerusalem is the tabernacle of God with man. And the New Jerusalem is also the temple of God. As the tabernacle of God is for God's dwelling. As the temple of God, it mentions the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the temple. That is for man's dwelling. So God is seeking a dwelling place.
Amen.
And this dwelling place is for God and is also for man.
Amen.
You know, in the church, you know, we enjoy very much. We enjoy the Lord's table. You know why? Because God is here. God is at rest. And we are, when God is at rest, you are at rest. I'm at rest. Okay, so the Lord is building up his church. Just like the Lord used Adam's rib, build the woman for Adam. Okay, let's read on Genesis 2:23. And the man said, this one shall be called woman, because out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So this shows that Adam, when he saw Eve, right away he recognized, this is my helpmate, you know, this is my counterpart. All the rest, forget about it. You know, so today, Only the church is Christ's wife, Christ's counterpart. So eventually, Adam and Eve, they live a marriage life. And Christ and the church is also, you know. With Adam and Eve, is the two become one flesh. But with us, let's read 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So today, we are one spirit with the Lord. So when we are in our spirit, the Lord is with us. So we all need to be strengthened into our inner man, that Christ may make his home in us. This truly is wonderful. Let's read the verses at the end of the Bible. Revelation mentioned that just like Adam and Eve, it's a couple, and at the end of the Bible also mentioned that there'll be another real wife. Ken. That's voice and exalt, and let us give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are they who are called to the marriage dinner of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. So here, the real husband is unveiled. The real husband is the Lamb. It's just Christ. Okay, so we can finish our reading. Revelation 21:9. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Okay. So we see the bride eventually was presented and was ready. Let's read Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's good enough. This verse shows that Adam and Eve, when they, you may say, got married. So they continue a marriage life. In Revelation 22:17, also, that's another real picture. Let's read that verse. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who wills to take the water of life freely. You know, in the beginning of Revelation, he mentioned the Spirit speaking to the churches, right? So here the speaking, is the Spirit speaking or the bride speaking? I think it's apparent that the Spirit and the bride say, you know. So it shows at the end, whatever the speaks, the bride speaks. So the bride is one with the Spirit. The Spirit is the bridegroom, and the bride is the wife. So at the end of the Bible, you know, just like Adam and Eve, they are one flesh, they are one. But now, the Spirit and the bride, they are one. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Are we one with the Lord? Amen, that is really wonderful. So I think a lot of time in our daily living, we may not be one with the Lord. But in the church, you know, I think we all like to be one with the Lord. He's our real husband. We like to be one with him. Whatever he says, we say amen. at the end, you know, God has done everything, right? He became a man. He lived a life. He died on the cross to cleanse us, to release his life, to impart himself into us. God has done everything for us. God is speaking to us as the Spirit. But what should we do? On our part, you know, the Bible at the end said, the bride has made herself ready. So we need to make ourselves ready. How should we make ourselves ready? Right? My realization is following verses. Let's read it together. Jehovah God formed man with the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In fact, we don't need to read about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We just need to read the tree of life. I think we should realize that all of us, including me and you, we are nothing, because we are just dust of the ground. And the animals are the same. They die, return to the dust. But today, God made us in his image, according to his likeness, and committed to us dominion, so we can represent him. So everything is God's doing. Even right now, sitting here, I'm standing here, it's God's mercy, you know. I am no different from the rest, human beings. But God has chosen us. God has redeemed us. God has saved us. God has imparted his life into us. So we need to know God's intention. We need to know God's desire. That intention, that desire was in the very beginning. God made us, but God wants us to receive his life. That's why he put man in front of the tree of life. He wants us to daily receive him as food so he can constitute us. Let's read also Genesis 2:11. The name of the first river, you know, is Pishon. It is the one that goes around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. I thought there were some other verses afterwards. I think he also mentioned in the river, there was also medallions, a kind of a pearl-like from the vegetable life, kind of resin. And also there were onyx stones, you know. This is the portion we read last week. It shows that God's desire is that we human beings, by receiving him, by enjoying him as our food, the tree of life, as our drink, the river of water of life, that we may become, you know, the dusty man may become precious materials, you know. To build a woman, we may not understand how a rib can build a woman, but we can understand to build something, to build a building, you need materials. You know, in the New Jerusalem is built up with gold, with precious stone, with pearls. So today, I know many saints now, you know, every day we spend a little time in the Word. We enjoy a portion of the messages and the opening words concerning the God's Word. By being nourished, we are being transformed. You know, just like the river goes through, then there was a materials produced. In ourselves, we are just dust. But by God's transformation, we can become precious materials. Let's read let's read Jeremiah first. Jeremiah 32 and 33. Return, O apostate children, I will heal you of your apostasies. Now we come to you, for you are Jehovah our God. Surely in vain have we hoped for anything from hills. In fact, I was thinking another verse concerning, you know, we are not consumed because of his compassion. And his compassions are new every morning, you know. Today we are still here, it's because of God's compassion. It's because of God's mercy. So we just need to come to him every morning and join him as our portion, and by receiving more his life. And then we can be transformed into precious materials for his building. You know, right now we are in the Genesis training, the third time. The last portion of Genesis is concerning Jacob, you know, and Joseph. And these two are, in fact, one person. We all know Jacob is a heel holder, you know. He's speaking in the beginning was just, you know, it's terrible because, you know, he's speaking in the beginning, you know, when his brother went hunting, came back, was hungry, and he was cooking something, and his brother asked for it, and he made a deal. Give me your birthright, and I give you the food. So that was his speaking. And his brother despised the birthright, sold with one bowl of red soup. And later on, again, when his father was old, he wants to bless his son. And of course, the blessing goes to the birthright, the firstborn. And Jacob pretended that he was Esau. And he cheated his father. And he got the blessing. What kind of person is Jacob, right? In the past, I said, you know, such a person, God will put him aside, but God didn't put him aside. Such a person, eventually, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Even God, one of his titles, God's title, is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Such a person eventually was changed. The end of the Bible, the end of Genesis, you know, Genesis has 50 chapters. In chapter 49, Jacob, he was blessing his sons, you know. At the end of the Jacob life, he was blessing Pharaoh. And he was blessing Joseph's two sons. And he was blessing his 12 sons. You know, it's a totally different person. Instead of going to Egypt and try to get something out of the rich Egypt, you know, from Pharaoh, he blessed Pharaoh. So Jacob, in fact, is a picture of you, and Jacob is a picture of me. We are not better than Jacob. But God has chosen us. God has chosen Jacob. And God did a work in Jacob. And God is doing a work in every one of us. So I just feel that, you know, every morning when you come to the Word, you contact the Lord in the Word, you pray to Him, you read a portion of the Word or the footnotes or life studies, and you are being blessed with the riches in His Word, the riches of the Triune God. You know, Jacob's blessing of his sons is his prophesying with blessing. You know, that was his words. Was not, you know, Jacob has something and give to the sons. No. Jacob was just speaking. That speaking was a blessing. That speaking was his prophesying. And the Bible says, he who prophesies builds up the church. So today, all of us, we are blessed people. And we should be persons also blessing others. Okay, I'll stop here. And I think I did my part. I enjoy the blessing. I flow out a little bit, whatever I received. And you also, you have received blessing, you need to bless others. By prophesying with blessing, we all build up the church.
Amen.
To build up the church, in Genesis picture, is build up Eve. In the New Testament, is build up the church. And it's also the preparation of the bride. So today, our Christ is waiting for the bride. At the end of Revelation, he mentioned, the bride has made herself ready. Amen. The bride is you, the bride is me. We all are part of the bride. So we need to make ourselves ready. So Christ can gain his bride. And today is very practical to make ourselves ready. Just come to the Lord and to enjoy his blessing. Blessing, in fact, is just God himself. It's not something, you know, God is giving out of his pocket. No. It's just God himself. You know, when we in the morning we enjoy the Lord, that is a real blessing. So when we come together, we just need to minister the Lord to one another and bless one another.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we are blessed people.
Amen.
May the Lord continue to bless every one of us.
Amen.
That we may be a part of the bride.
Amen.
And he may gain his bride for his satisfaction. Amen. I'll stop here and since we can continue our enjoyment and minister and bless others. Oh, sorry. Let me
Don't worry. I can't speak as long as he does nowadays. But I asked him to squeeze me in because I have a burden since last Lord's Day. Last Lord's Day, I was in the hospital, and a number of saints visited me. That was so sweet. I really enjoyed that. And they all seemed happy, smiling. And one of them said, "You know what? I have good news." "What good news?" "The prophesying today was very good." And you know, Brother James can testify, we brothers have been burdened for the prophesying for a long time. Actually, when we started the prophesying section, principally, mainly, the concern was for flushing, that the saints would be prepared. But we also realized the other languages also needed to be prepared. So it seems now that the languages are doing well, but sometimes in the English-speaking side, there's someone who speaks a little longer, and that is not so helpful. Tim read Matthew 16:18. So I would like to start from there. Matthew 16:18. Let's read it together. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church.
And the
the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Very good. This is the greatest promise in the Bible. I will build my church. That's what the Lord said. Okay. He will build his church. How? Anybody has any idea? Amen! That's right. It doesn't mean that the Lord builds up the church directly, but through the saints. So, since we got that far, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 about prophesying. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, let's read it together. Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. Here we see how Paul emphasizes immediately when he comes to the matter of gifts, that you may prophesy. So we see here very clearly that for Paul, prophesying was special. And of course we know prophesying in the New Testament mainly doesn't mean predicting. It means to speak forth God, to speak for God, to present Christ, to minister Christ, and therefore, of course, minister life. So this is what we need. Then in verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to men. My goodness, do you realize when we minister Christ in our prophesying, it says, speaks building up. There it is. When we prophesy, we build up the church. And encouragement and consolation. Isn't that sweet? Have we ever thought that prophesying was like this? Building up, encouragement, and consolation. Then in verse 4, he makes a comparison. He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but he who prophesies builds up the church. So here is very clear. He who prophesies builds up the church. So the point is, let's go to verse 26. Then, brothers, whenever you come together, each one has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Well, you might say, I don't have a psalm, I don't have a teaching, I don't have a revelation, I don't have a tongue, I don't have an interpretation. But this is not a complete list. The main thing here is, whenever you come together, each one has. How precious that is. What does that mean? That means that if we prepare before the Lord, we have something to bring. And after all, this is why we're here for, to build up the church. So, it is up to us. It is up to us. You know, when I first thought last Lord's Day about asking concerning your prophesying, I thought I would say, brothers and sisters, we need to be short, living and to the point, to afford others the opportunity so that others can also speak. The Lord told me, it's too late for that. What do I mean by that? We have been praying for what? For the Lord to strengthen the church, right? Every Tuesday night, we pray for the Lord to strengthen the church. How is the Lord going to strengthen the church? There may be many aspects, but one aspect is the matter of prophesying. Do you realize if you prepare, it doesn't have to be big words. It doesn't have to be a major thing. If you prepare and you prophesy, you are building the church. What could be more glorious? What could be more honorable? To be a co-worker with God Himself. So, now comes the opportunity. So I would encourage all of you to share short, living, and to the point, so that more could share, and so that the time would be more rich. Now it's up to you. Oh, on the announcements, of course. This afternoon, we have the continuation of the Genesis training at 2 p.m. Because we started on Friday morning, the rest of the time, in other words, Monday through Friday, there will be only one message. Today, there will only be one message. And the last two messages on Saturday. Why Saturday? We usually finish on the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day, the college young people go to the conference. And every time they miss the last two messages. This time they will not. So remember, this afternoon the training is open. You can come. Praise the Lord. So now is the time for you. Oh, wonderful. Hey. I need all the help I can get.
You've noticed that Timothy actually began by giving us this particular point. I want to put it in this way. It was his journey of faith. He mentioned that in the past he had a question, but now he does not have this question. And he said, I hope you are convinced. Now, after he's spoken for 40 minutes, I don't know whether you are convinced or not. So I think this is somewhat related to the prophesying. Don't say something you do not agree, okay? Now, my point is this. Timothy said he had this question. That was that when, since God said in Genesis chapter 2, it was not good for the man to be alone, I will make a helper to be his counterpart. And since God said that, so why didn't God make Adam and Eve together in one swoop, right? I mean, he had that question before. But before he spoke, presumably he said, this is no longer a question. So I think he was giving us his journey of faith, how that led him from this question to this no longer be a question. So I think that before you prophesy, whether short or long, I think you first you need to answer this question first. Was I convinced? let me put it in this way: it was not a question to me before, so I wasn't sitting here convinced by him. But I thought that he made this point, which I thought was very important. That is, yes, God, of course, had intended to create a corporate man. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, which we mentioned so many times, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them," right? Mm-hmm. And in verse 27, in his image, he made the man male and female. He made it according to his image. And God said in verse 28, "And God blessed them, saying, be multiplied and fill the earth." So clearly when God created man, God had full intention to create a corporate man for the extension in time and for the expansion in space. So therefore, that was in creating Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathing to his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul, is only the first step. Okay? And you must see that in the process God created man is a two-step process. And that is the reason why it's no longer a question. Okay? If you consider in our narrow or natural or limited understanding, we think if we are going to create man, a couple, then we will do it together. But in God's creation, God's creating man, he did not do it in that way, because it is a type of what he's going to do in building up the church. So I hope that by going through all these verses, as you have seen, starting with Genesis 1 and 2, ending with Revelation chapter 21 and 22, everything that is in between is related to the second step, which is for the building. And he mentioned about this bloodless operation. It's difficult for us to understand, but yes, indeed, Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 is a bloodless operation. Okay? So I hope that you understand that all that he said, actually, even using John chapter 19, that when the soldier pierced his side, out came blood and water. And of course, we know blood is for redemption and water is for life. Right? So therefore, you see, you have to see it in all this whole picture, why his question was answered. And he said that, and I hope you pay attention to it. What he said was that he was convinced, not because of what man said, he was convinced because of what Bible says. And he used all these verses to prove that point. What God created man with a purpose is a two-step process. Okay? So I hope when you are going to share, yes, you don't need to repeat the whole message. It'll be difficult to put all the verses. But I think any particular point that touched you, I think that we have to have that in view. We have both Genesis chapter 2 and also Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22 in view. You know, we have heard this, we have said this many, many times, that the most important chapters are the first two chapters and the last two chapters in the Bible, and everything in between is just for that. Okay? So, and I think that we need to see that. So, I hope this will help our so-called prophesying. Now, prophesying is for the building up. In other words, even when you talk about John 19, about the blood and the water, you see, the view must see that the purpose is for the building. Redemption is for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay? So, I hope what Tim's burden, what he's trying to bring out this morning with this question, and ending up with no question, and I hope that we'll all be convinced, not by what he said, but by the word of God. Amen. Okay? And I hope all this prophesying, all the sharing, you only need to bring out any one particular point. I mean, nobody can repeat that message again. We don't have the time. But I hope that this really is the principle for prophesying for the building up. Prophesying for building up is not to repeat something, but prophesying something that we are touched by the word of God. And just as our brother was touched.
Amen.
Amen.
So, one more item. Guess what is going to happen next Lord's Day? Flushing will be here. Mayor Wente! So now is the time for you to pray, and for those going to the language meetings to do so, and then it's your turn to share.